Let's now open God's Word to Numbers 21. We'll pick up at verse 21 and go to verse 31. It's on page 129 of our Bibles. Numbers 21, verse 21. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into field or vineyard. We will not drink the water of a well. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. He gathered all his people together and went out against Israel to the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok as far as to the Ammonites, for the border of the Ammonites was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel settled in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore the ballad singers say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be established. For fire came out from Heshbon, flame from the city of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab and swallowed the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You are undone, O people of Chemosh. He has made his sons fugitives and his daughters captives to an Amorite king, Sihon. So we overthrew them. Heshbon as far as Dibon perished, and we laid waste as far as Nophah. Fire spread as far as Medeba." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's been some time ago now, but when I prepared this sermon, I was actually at that time working on 1 Corinthians 15, which we just read. And I had come to this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And I wanted to deal with that around Easter. And as such, turn back to my series again on the book of Numbers and got into Israel's defeat of Sihon, the king of the Amorites. And I mention this to highlight something. The defeat of Sihon, Numbers 21, and the account of the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, 1 Corinthians 15, they are very different chapters within God's Word. And yet, as you ponder the defeat of Sihon, back in the Old Testament in Numbers, then the exciting gospel of the victory of our Savior, even over death, that starts to come into view. And this in turn serves also today to give us joy, to give us hope. It serves to encourage us and to reinvigorate us into pressing on as God's people forward into the promised land, to do that with assurance, to do that with confidence, to do that even in the face of difficulties and hardships. May proclaim God's word then this morning under this theme: with the defeat of Sihon, the Lord gives Israel a new song. And we'll see three things. First of all, the significance of Sihon's defeat. Secondly, the composition of the new song. And finally, the prophetic character of this new song. We're jumping then right into Numbers 21, where Israel is coming close to the end of the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. As a matter of fact, at this point, Israel is heading to the plains of Moab, the place from which they will finally enter into the promised land. And therefore, the times are exciting. The time has come. Think of what God said to Abraham back in Genesis 15. And your descendants, Abraham, shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. That was 400 years ago. Now it's 400 years later, and that means the iniquity of the Amorite is complete. The time has come for the promised land to be given to that special nation that God set aside for himself as to be his own special nation in this world. That special nation out of which the great Messiah would one day come. Now, as Israel set out to get to that point of entry, she right away faced obstacles. To get there, they had to travel quite a ways. They had to travel through Edom, through Moab. And therefore they asked Edom, they also asked Moab, for permission to travel through their land. Answer was no. And as a result, they had to take a big detour around these lands and come up along the other side. Because God had made very clear, you shall not attack Moab or Edom. So they had to make quite the detour, and that was not a minor matter. And they came up along the other side of Edom and Moab. And again, this meant going along the edge of Edom and Moab, but it's striking that this time these two nations, they relented. They let Israel go. You find that in Deuteronomy 2, where Moses recounts what happens. He says there, I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. Let me pass through your land. I will go only by the road. I will turn neither aside to the right or to the left. You shall sell food for me for money, and I may eat. Give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot. And then adds Moses, as the sons of Esau who live in Seir, and as the Moabites who live in Ar did for me. So anyway, coming back then alongside Moab and Edom, they go through these areas, and there's only one area you could say that's left to go through. But this last area is unique. Currently, it belongs to Sihon, a king called Sihon. What's interesting, Sihon did not inherit this kingdom from his father. Instead, Sihon had come into this area and forcefully taken it away from the nation of Moab. Think of verse 26 of our text. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and taken all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. Now, this was apparently quite a coup. And Sihon's followers, they reveled in this victory. When the Israelites, many years ago, when they crossed through the Red Sea, and that was something that had resulted in the complete defeat of the Egyptians. They were drowned in the Red Sea. Then Israel at that time composed a special song to celebrate this victory. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. That's Exodus 15. Now basically, that's what verse 27 to 29 are all about in our passage. It's a song, not of the Israelites, it's a song of the Amorites extolling Sihon, their great leader Sihon, and taunting Moab the nation they had defeated. Following the NIV here, verse 27, therefore the ballad singers say, come to Heshbon, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be established. For fire came out from Heshbon, flame from the city of Sihon. It devoured Ar of Moab, swallowed the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, O Moab! You are undone, O people of Chemosh. He has made his sons fugitives and his daughters captives to an Amorite king. Sihon! It ends with that one. And indeed, Sihon was apparently quite a character. Notice also the last phrase of verse 24. It speaks about the territory extending as far as the Ammonites, for the border of the Ammonites was strong. The point is this. Sihon was stopped only because the Ammonites were strong. Otherwise, he would have pressed on. When Israel asked for passage from Edom as they came up along the other side, Edom granted it. When they asked passage from Moab, Moab granted it. But not Sihon. No way. Sihon, he had guts. He was willing to try what Edom and Moab were too scared to even try. Now, besides that, there's another very key matter here. And that is, Sihon was an Amorite. That's mentioned twice in our passage. Which means, Sihon was one of that nation that God had said to Abraham he would one day wipe out because their iniquity had become full. This makes Sihon a very significant figure. So you see then what's going on. Israel has not yet even arrived to the border of the promised land. But already before arriving there, Israel faces Amorite attack and faces aggressive Amorites. Yes, Amorites, those people whose iniquity has become full. Those people who have with force and with violence expanded their territory, their influence in this world. Again, when Israel came to the areas of Edom and Moab, they first asked for and received permission to pass through. And so therefore now too, they follow the same mode of operation. They ask Sihon, they can pass through his area. But this time, no. And Sihon gets ready to attack. Why? Sure, he has guts. But ultimately, it's because just as God had hardened the heart of Pharaoh in Egypt, so now he hardens the heart of Sihon, king of the Amorites. And as such, Sihon comes to Jahaz. There engages Israel in battle. But he faces defeat. He faces total defeat. Verse 24, Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword. According to Deuteronomy 3, verse 6, the Israelites devoted to destruction every city, every man, woman, and child. And more than that, they took possession of his land. All of it. Now, that's a first. Earlier on in Numbers 21, we dealt with that quite some time ago by now, then Israel defeated the king of Arad. But they did not take his land. Instead, they moved on. But here, they take possession of the land. They settle in it. Why? Because Sihon was an Amorite. He was one of those devoted to total destruction. This had become Amorite territory. And thus territory that Israel could take as its own. And we could put it this way. Even though Israel had not yet come to the promised land proper, already now they received land. It's like a down payment. Or a deposit. that serves as a guarantee the full inheritance is coming. So you see here, what happens is very significant in the history of Israel. Indeed, it's so significant that it calls for a new song. And that's our second point. I already mentioned that verse 27 to 29, not verse 30, verse 27 to 29 was a song composed to celebrate Sihon's victory over Moab. It was meant to taunt Moab, to extol Sihon as the hero. And over the years, this song really stuck, even way beyond Sihon himself. And I say that because this song comes back again in Jeremiah 48. There in that passage, Jeremiah speaks words of judgment against Moab, and he says this: "In the shadow of Heshbon, fugitives stop without strength. For fire came out from Heshbon, flame from the house of Sihon. It has destroyed the forehead of Moab, the crown of the sons of tumult. Woe to you, O Moab! The people of Chemosh are undone, for your sons have been taken captive and your daughters into captivity." You see, this song, because Jeremiah comes many, many years later, this song became proverbial. What this song did, it effectively captured the pride, the hostility, the arrogance of people like Sihon, who were violent, who ran roughshod over others, who dared to stand up and defy the kingdom of God. What happens in our text then is very remarkable. Our text, first of all, is where it takes up this song of Sihon. That makes sense. This song of Sihon captures a reality of life in this world very well. It gets across that Sihon indeed was quite someone. He was able to chase Moab away. He was able to make Moab tremble and shake and worry about what would happen next. Woe to you, O Moab! And in the history of this world, many others too have risen just like Sihon from his kingdom, from this kingdom that is hostile to God, that's under the ban or under God's ban of destruction. This kingdom that's on its way out. In our text then, what it does, it first of all takes up this song, but then adds a final stanza. A stanza that's much different in style, much different in content. It stands in stark contrast to the preceding stanzas, and that's why the NIV very correctly leaves a space, quite a space between verse 29 and 30. And it begins verse 30 with the word "but." True, Sihon was able to make Moab tremble. Sihon was able to make the Moabite inhabitants of that area fugitives and captives running away. But here comes verse 30. "But we have overthrown them. Heshbon is destroyed all the way to Dibon. We have demolished them as far as Nopha, which extends to Medeba. We have destroyed arrogant and violent Sihon completely. We have taken over their territory. We've made it our own. And we've done that even before we've entered into the promised land proper." Now, don't misunderstand here. In saying "we have overthrown them," Israel here is not bragging. The point is this. The point is not "we on our own apart from God." No, but the point is this: we as people of God, This psalm, especially with that additional stanza, it's a call for God's people to rejoice. O Israel, just ponder what happened to Sihon. See how the Lord has silenced Sihon and thereby even given you a down payment, a deposit of the full inheritance that will come when you enter the promised land. See and remember what happened to Sihon. That's a call that comes to God's people time and time and time again. You see it right after our text, right away. Shortly after the attack of Sihon, Israel also has to face attack of Og, king of Bashan. And listen to what God says as Og and Bashan begin to attack. Numbers 21:34. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites who lived in Heshbon." Comes back again in Deuteronomy 2 as well. By this time, Israel has come to the point of entry into the promised land proper. And now Israel is going to face some very intense warfare. And Moses then encourages the people, reminding them, remember what happened to Sihon. Same thing in Deuteronomy 31. In his parting words to Israel and to Joshua, who will take his place as leader of Israel, he says, "And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their lands when he destroyed them." Sihon even gets into the book of Psalms twice over. That's why we sang also from Psalm 135. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, and then mentions Sihon, king of the Amorites. O Israel, as you face the enemies of my saving kingdom, never forget Sihon. Always remember the down payment, the deposit I gave to you. And that calling comes to us today too, beloved. Are we not God's people today? Now you might ask, okay, how? Where? I don't see the connection. And what we need to do is keep in mind here that the journey of Israel from Egypt to the promised land, that is a foreshadowing journey. And while the nation of Israel was God's son, this son of God would give rise to the true son of God. And therefore, this matter of Israel defeating Sihon and beginning to take possession of the promised land, this matter of Israel receiving a deposit of the land promised already before coming into the land proper, that foreshadows, that you could say that prophesies the true son, defeating the true Sihon, beginning to take possession of the true promised inheritance, receiving a deposit of the promised land already before coming into the promised land proper. And that brings us right to our final point, the prophetic character of this new song. Do you perhaps now see why I began with mentioning 1 Corinthians 15 at the beginning? What does this victory of God's Old Testament son over Sihon, what victory does that foreshadow? Well, not simply a victory over all the Amorites, also those all in Canaan proper,
Sure, that too.
But rather the victory over what these Amorites also represent. That is the kingdom of sin and death in this broken world. See, the battle with Sihon, it foreshadows what happened at the cross. As Sihon gathered all his people, so Satan gathered all his kingdom against the Son of God to stop him from going further, to destroy him. But the gospel is this: sin, Satan, death, who before expanded their territory, struck fear into the hearts of men, were defeated decisively. Now it's true, the Son of God was struck down by death. But on the third day, he arose again from the dead. For the first time ever, death blinked. For the first time ever, Amorites faced setback. Death no longer had anything over him. He arose, never to die again. And then 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. Sihon could not bar his access from heaven whatsoever. The only thing that Satan could do was watch and tremble and understand what that meant as he saw Christ go to heaven. Our Lord could go to the Father and receive from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, whom he would pour out into his people so that he could work new life into them, so that he could work faith into their hearts, so he could equip them to serve as his kingdom citizens in this world already. And just think now what this means. Today already, we are enjoying the first fruits of our Savior's conquering of the promised land. We read that from Ephesians 1. You also were included in Christ, as Paul, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We should think not only of what we will one day get, but we should think of what we today already have. We have the Holy Spirit of God himself living with us, living in us, working in us, changing us more and more into people of life and love. That's true, we ourselves are still subject to death and corruption. But our leader, our King, our Savior, he's already far above all that. And therefore this song in our text calls us to ponder these things deeply, as we as God's people today too continue on in our journey to the promised land. My people, see the great victory that has already happened and rejoice. Celebrate that. Yes, do that every week again by coming together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My people, celebrate that when the journey is going well. That can only serve to encourage you on. But see these things and celebrate them also in those tough days. When you, as my people, seem to be pushed back more and more all the time. When your influence over Sihon seems to wane instead of wax. When the arrogant forces of the kingdom of darkness when they seem unstoppable and trying to redefine the family, to question gender, to try to totally normalize every form of sexual immorality. See these things when the power of your own sinful nature seems to dominate. When it appears that those deep patterns and compulsions of sin, when they seem to be advancing in our life instead of regressing. When deep sinful tendencies become ever more difficult to overcome rather than the other way around. My people see this also in the tough days. When you, though a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, when you come into times of sickness and sorrow, when you receive news that the cancer is back, more aggressively than ever, when you face death yourself, when you reel with the death of a loved one, when you feel completely overwhelmed by grief, by sorrow, by pain, heartache. No, my people, I'm not saying to you, don't cry. But at the same time, I continue to say to you, see the victory of Sion and sing. See the victory over sin and Satan and death and sing. See how you have the Spirit living in you and sing. Don't spiral down into the abyss of darkness, discouragement, as understandable as that might be. But see and even celebrate every time again the defeat of Sion, how our Savior Himself has defeated death, how He is already in the promised land, preparing a place also for you. No, my people, you do not need to deny reality about the viciousness, about the fearful reality of Sion, of sin, of death. Also today, you need not deny reality about how death mocks us and sings its taunting songs against us and says to us, see, no one can stop me. I get one after the other, and one day you too will die. But at the same time, don't forget that last stanza. That's what the Israelites do with the defeat of Sion. That's also what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul too, he knew that one day he would die. Paul too, he heard it time and again, that taunting song of death, mocking what he said, mocking what he testified to. But Paul, still, knowing what his Savior had done, he sings a song of victory. He sings a song of holy defiance. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, keep in mind where we are in the history of this world. We're living in the last days of redemptive history. Yes, we're living in days of special attack. And we feel it. But we also live in the days after the decisive victory. We live in the days in which death has blinked. Also in the days of having received the down payment of the Spirit. He has given us faith. He is working new life in us. He is strengthening us. He's even doing that right now in this service. And therefore, let's celebrate these glorious realities. And let's allow that celebration to encourage us on the entry into the promised land. It is just around the corner. Amen.